Amen. Well, good morning, church, and happy almost new year. Can y'all believe that it is December 31st of 2017? The year has flown by, and my name is Luke White. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the young adults pastor here, and it's my privilege to get to share with you this morning. Rachel and I just got back from traveling, as I'm sure many of you did, and I'm sure there's many of you that are still traveling and are tuning in on the stream, and or stayed home today because it's a little bit cold. So congratulations to those of you who made it to church today, and we're a little bit of jealous of those of you who are at home sipping on coffee, snuggled up in your bed, so bless you as well. Rachel and I had a great time. We went out to East Texas. Any other East Texas folks in the audience? That's right. Yeah, we went to Nacogdoches, so got to spend some time with Rachel's family out there. She's one of eight kids, and so the whole family was back in action, and it was a packed house. So this is a picture of everybody in East Texas in Nacogdoches. I wouldn't name everybody, but it would take an hour. That is everybody there, and then this is a smaller picture of just the four Whites. That's little James, my son on the left, my beautiful wife, Rachel, who's incredible and also incredibly pregnant and will be giving birth to our third kid in February. And then Haven was super not stoked to be out in the cold for those pictures. And so that was the closest thing to a smile that we got that day. But that's our little family. Just want to introduce ourselves. And we're back in action. We're back to be glad to be back in Waco, as I'm sure some of you guys are. And I'm excited to be kicking off a new series today for us as a church. So we're going to be kicking off this new series. You're welcome to take notes as we go throughout it. I know notes are super helpful for me. So feel free to jot those down. And the title of this series is called Reset. So go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, it's time for a reset. Now, what we mean by that is specifically getting refocused on the essential elements of the kingdom. Anybody coming to the end of 2017 going, I need a little bit less busyness and a little bit more Jesus in my life? Today, I want to talk specifically about prioritizing space with Jesus in the midst of a busy life. I know that many of you made it through the hurry days, also known as the holidays, where you're hurrying around, buying gifts, running around like crazy, and so you're just glad you made it through your vacation, and now you actually want a vacation. But I want to unpack a little bit how we can prioritize our time well. You know, Rachel and I have been married for 5 years, and it didn't take us long to figure out that we like to prioritize our time a little bit differently, that we spend our time, specifically our downtime, very, very differently. She's an indoor person. I'm an outdoor guy. She likes to sit and chill on the couch. I like to go and do. And so I discovered this really early on in marriage on the one of the first weekends of marriage. So Saturdays, for me, are historically chore day, right? The Lord has given us the Sabbath to get chores done. I think that's somewhere written. That's not actually written. Just don't take that as context. And so for me, Saturday rolls around on one of the first weekends of our marriage, and I'm thinking, man, today's going to be the day that we're going to get a lot done, but I'm going to really bless my wife. So I wake up at 7, get a little time with Jesus, and then I get out the trusted old whiteboard and start to write down the different tasks of the day. I'm not kidding, no. Others of you are like, that's a brilliant idea. I know, it is. So I'm writing down the tasks, and then I get done with the tasks, and I'm like, now we just need a little clarity in our marriage, so I'm going to assign whose task is what on this task list. Now, before you start throwing things, I gave myself more tasks than I gave her. And so I get done with this task list. I'm feeling really good about the day. It's like 8 o'clock, and I'm like, why is she not awake yet? And so I go into the room, and I'm like, patience, patience, it's a good thing. So I walk up to her with my whiteboard, and I'm like, good morning, my love. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And she kind of like, you know, rolls over a little bit. I'm like, babe, check it out. Here's what we're going to get done today. And she rolls over and kind of through one squinted eye, looks at me, looks at the whiteboard, looks back at me, closes her eyes, and goes back to sleep. And I knew right then that we were not going to be spending the Saturday doing what I wanted to do. We ended up having some of what she calls downtime, which is actually good for the soul, and I would encourage it for everybody. Spending our time. How do we prioritize our time? What do we like to spend our time on? I want to look at a few different scriptures today that I think will help us with this concept of prioritizing time. and we're going to dig into this. And my hope is that, you know, it's December 31st, and I heard a lot of nays when Kendra got up here earlier and said, who of you have set New Year's resolutions? So good news is that by the end of this message, you can potentially have even just one New Year's resolution going into tomorrow. So congratulations. I'm going to help you out there. So in the next 25 minutes, what I want to help you do is help you understand where you can discover that you actually have more space for Jesus and how to utilize that time well. What does it look like to find more space for Jesus? And then what does it look like to utilize that well? So if you would, open with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump to verses 15 through 17. The reason being, verses 1 and 2 kind of help set the tone for the rest of that passage. So verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5, this is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says this, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Isn't that good news that we don't have to stumble around in the dark, but that we have a good example that has been set for us that is in Christ Jesus? So for whatever we have in store in 2018, if we can just pause and fix our eyes on Jesus, we have an example. Skipping ahead to verse 15, it says, be very careful. Everybody say, be very careful. Be very careful. It doesn't say, be kind of careful. It doesn't say, be sort of careful. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Now that seems kind of self-explanatory. I don't see a lot of people stumbling around in life going, man, I want to live unwisely. No, most people are like, I would like to live a wise life. So Paul's going to help us out here. He says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Another version says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeem. In other words, get back. Can you imagine a life where you could get back some of your time? Where you could redeem the time and make the most of it so that, verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for you. What if entering into 2018, we could understand to an increased degree what the Lord's will is for us in Christ Jesus? You know, our time, redeeming the time, getting back the time, our time is our most valuable asset. It's the only asset that we'll ever have that we can never get more of. Right? Some of us are coming out of the holidays going, I had this asset, it was called money, and it went away into all these presents, and now I have no more. So yes, please tell me how to get more time in my life. Our time is something that we can never add to. And so what I'm not going to talk about is creating more time, but what I am going to talk about is reallocating some of our time. And so if time is our most valuable asset, then in the same way that many of us set budgets for budgets for our finances, would it not be wise to take a moment to look at the budget of our time? Now, let me just give a personal disclaimer on the front of this because some of y'all don't know me. So, you know, oftentimes preachers get to preach from their strengths, and I would say this is more of the latter. I'm married. I have two kids, one on the way. My wife and I run the young adult ministry, and then we started a couple businesses in the past couple years. Our lives are full. Our schedules are full. When you look at the different increments of time, there's not a lot left to budget. And so, you know, I was actually preparing this message a few weeks ago, and I called my mom, as I often do on one of my drives, and checking in with her. She said, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm preparing for a message. Oh, what's your message on? It's about, you know, making space in life for Jesus. There's kind of a pause on the other end. She goes, oh. It's like, Mom, what's that O for? She goes, oh, I'm just curious to see what you preach on. I was like, Mom, like, are you rebuking me over the phone right now that I need some help in this? Evidently, this is true. Earlier, I preached this year on humility, and now I get to preach on making space for Jesus. So evidently, God's trying to get the point across to me in a couple different areas. Most of us in the room would maybe say that you find yourself in a similar position. That when you look at your schedules and you look at your budget of time, most of it's allocated for. Most of it already has a time slot. Most of it already has a place to go. But have you ever gotten to the end of your day and wondered, where did my time go? Have you ever gotten to the end of a work day, worked really, really hard, got done, looked back and gone, what did I actually accomplish today? Or have you ever gotten to the end, students, at the end of your semester and thought back and looked back and be like, I know I went to class, but what did I actually learn? When you got done with high school, when you got done with college, and you're reflecting, you're going, man, did I even learn anything? Relationships. Just getting back from the holidays, you spend a lot of time with family. Some of you are glad to be away from family. Some of you love time with family. But some of you going, man, that time flew by. What did we actually accomplish? Now, parenting, it's like we blink and close our eyes and our kids grow two sizes of shoes and need an entire new wardrobe. Time seems to fly by. And so if we're to redeem the time or if we're to grasp the time, it seems like it's slipping through our fingers, does it not? That's why in James it says in 4:14, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Psalm 39, 4 through 5, O Lord, help me understand my mortality and the brevity of life. Let me realize how quickly my life will pass. Look, you make my days short-lived and my lifespan is nothing from your perspective. Surely all people, even those who seem secure, are nothing but a vapor. Now, as we walked into church today, there's a bit of a vapor hanging over Waco. There's a mist. And our hope is obviously that that mist is gone tomorrow and that it's a bright and sunny day. But the mist will never stay. It always goes away. And in the same way, our time seems to be slipping away. You've maybe heard the phrase that, put your money where your mouth is or where you invest your money, that shows your priorities. But I would say that where you invest your time is a better determinant of what your priorities are. Matthew 6:19 says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Now, when we read this verse, for those of you who have read it before, oftentimes we're just thinking about our finances. But again, going back to that principle, if time is our most valuable asset, then what does that look like to apply this here? That if we're storing up our time treasure here on earth, if we're taking our time and just investing it in the things of this world, then our time most definitely will slip away. And it will add to meaningless things at the end of our lives. But if we can take our time and if we can invest it in the things of the kingdom, then what a greater reward we will have with the lives that we've lived. And so here's what I want to do. I want to look at our budget, our time budget. Now, we're going to do a little bit of a math lesson today. I know some of you guys are like, man, I really hope at church today we get to do some math. So we're going to do some math. But we feel free to write this down. If you don't have a schedule, this is a great starting place. This is called a time budget, time budget. So what we're going to do is we're going to track a rough estimate of where our hours are going. And I'm going to use generalities, so please don't throw stuff at me. But I would imagine that most of us are going to fall somewhere into these different characteristics. So first of all, we all have a set number of hours per week. How many is it? It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week equals 168 hours. Some of y'all are like, that's some heavy math. So you have 168 hours of existence every week. Most of us have how many hours going to work? Ideally around 40, right? So we got 40 hours that are going to work. Students, you have at least around that amount between studying, between homework, between going to school, 40 hours going to work or school. Then sleep. Oh, that glorious thing called sleep. Let's say we do 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're racking up 56 hours of sleep. Parents are going, no, I'm not. I'm right there with you. 6 hours is a healthy night's sleep for me. And then you got this thing called eating. Now, let's just say conservatively, if we've already factored some of that into the work time when you're eating during work, we got 2 hours a day that we're eating, so let's tack on another 14 hours, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week of eating. And then this next part, some of you are like, zero. That's okay. We can work on this one with your New Year's resolution. You can just go ahead and write that down. You can go ahead and walk out. You're good. You got your New Year's resolution for next year. But some of us would say, hey, I would need to invest, let's say, an hour a day, 5 days a week. Some of you are like, heck no, tech no. Okay, so where are we at here? Let's do some quick math. You got 96 plus or minus. Okay, this is going to end up with 53 hours. Some of you are like, you should have been a professor. I cheated. I did it beforehand. So you've got 53 hours left over when you subtract 168 from all these designated spots. So let's say you've got these 53 hours. Now, I realize some of you are like, no, I don't. Okay, so let's say you take some travel time out of it. Parents, let's go ahead and divide this thing in half because you know at least half of your time is changing diapers, chasing kids around, driving them to everything on existence. So let's go ahead and just divide this in half. And what we come up with is 26.5 hours of free space. That's a rough estimate for how many hours you have. Some of y'all are like, I had no idea. Others of you are like, I have way more than that. Others of you are like, what is a 40-hour work week? I work 60 hours every single week. Well, then you still have 6.5 hours if you're working 60 hours a week. So let's talk about, where is all this time going? Where is all this time going? What are we spending our time on? If we have roughly 26.5 hours a week to invest in something, where are we going and what are we doing? Are you ready for this? I'm going to help you find some of that time. I know you're thinking, no, you're not. Yes, I am. So if you, and it's specific again to me for one, I'm not trying to discriminate, but for iPhone users, if you have an iPhone, go ahead and pull out your iPhone and wave it in there. Pull out your iPhone. Some of y'all are like, I already got it out because you've been on Instagram. We're going to talk about that. But go ahead and pull it out. And we're going to be talking about, pull out your phone and go to your settings option. Go to your settings option. And as we get to your settings, you're going to scroll down and you're going to see a green button that says battery. You're going to go to battery, 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 battery. Take a deep breath. It takes some folks a moment to get there. Help a neighbor. Feel free to phone a friend next to you to get there. Get to the battery portion. Now you're going to scroll down and it says last 24 hours is selected. Go ahead and click last 7 days to give a more accurate perspective. Some of you can't breathe right now. Now next to the last 7 days, it says it's a little clock icon. Go ahead and click that little clock and you're going to be able to see where your free time is going. Settings, go to battery, scroll down, click last 7 days, and then click the clock, and you will gasp and or hide your phone from your spouse as you look at the fact that your time is vanishing on this little device. Who has never seen that function before? Who never wants to see that function again? That's what I thought. Those of you streaming at home, you better be doing it there as well. Nudge your spouse. So y'all want to know what I'm spending my time on? Oh, none of y'all do. That's cool. There it is. So here's mine. I'm going to be real with you. I had 2.7 hours on this app called Instagram. Remember, I'm preaching for weakness. 1.2 hours on Safari, 2 hours on camera. 2 hours on camera. Evidently, I have children. An hour and a half on messages, and I could go on and on and on. Some of that is less embarrassing than other parts of that. Now, I'm just being real with you. I told you I'm a work in progress. Now, I'm not saying that to spend time on some of these things is inherently bad. Hear me on that. Let's go ahead and click our phones. Click them off. Save it for later. It's a great tool, great accountability buddy built into your phone right there for you. Where is our time going? Our time is often going to these areas that we'll just call them, for argument's sake, neutral areas. Because I'm not a naysayer for never be on Instagram, never be on Facebook, never be on ESPN. No, like, you're a person. Like, it's okay if you go to those places if they're not causing you to stumble into sin. But are those neutral places helping you in your relationship with Jesus? Or are they causing you more hurt, anxiety, and stress than anything else? Fantasy football, how's that doing for you? Facebook, scrolling through where everybody else is on vacation while you're in Waco, Texas. How's that going for you? Seeing the gifts that people get, seeing those other different things. That neutral area, as are most neutral places in life, is not an even plane. Neutral is slanted towards negative. Neutral is a slanted angle towards negative. And so it's built that if we live in the neutral, where are we going to end up? We're going to end up in the negative. If we prioritize our time, budget, our schedule towards the neutral, then it will slide us down towards the negative. Let's take social media, for example. Just being real for a moment. Oftentimes we say, no, I'm just going to browse the news, or I'm just going to browse social media. And what we find out might end up happening is one click leads to another, leads to that place where you said you're not going to go, and you're falling back into that thing that you said you weren't going to do again. Or maybe it's not that sin. Maybe it's just simply that you find your wanter, this thing inside of you, just churning and churning. And you get to the end of your day, you're like, I'm so tired. All I want to do is just check out. And then you try to check out hoping that what's going to happen, that you're going to be rejuvenated by the app, by the content that's on your phone. But instead, what happens? an hour goes by and you're like, what happened? Those Facebook videos just kept coming on the exact same content. And I don't know why, but I just watched people falling over for an hour straight. What is wrong with me? And then you hang up the phone and you're like, now it's time for bed. Good night. Our time's flying by because yes, we have it allocated before, but when it gets down to our free space, we oftentimes spend our free space on neutral things that lead to the negative because of the condition of our heart. How many of you know that the allocation of our free time oftentimes reflects the condition of our hearts? The allocation of our free time reflects the condition of our hearts. And so if our free time is reflecting a checking out, then what I would argue is probably happening is something's happening in this time set that's causing you to want to check out in this mindset. Something in the busyness of life, something in the constantly doing, going, being somewhere, doing something is leading to this angst that then when we get to free time, we're like, I can't even read a book. I just need to stare at a screen. And that screen or that place of checking out, if you live in that place, it's going to be slanted towards the negative. That's why Paul says the days are evil. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Like, we have to get our time back because it's slanted towards negative. The days are evil. John 10:10 says what? It says, the thief, in other words, the enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to the neutral. He lives for the negative. And the way that he does that is he comes in and robs us. And so if our time is our most valuable asset, if it's the most precious thing that we have during our existence on earth, the best thing that we can do to invest into the kingdom, what do you think he wants to steal? He wants to steal our time. And the way that he steals our time, the way that he's robbing us blind, is increasing our busyness so that we will live meaningless. He wants to increase our busyness so that we will live meaningless, neutral at best, lives. But then comes that second part of John 10:10 that I just think is the best. I just think that this embodies and capitalizes on everything that we can go for. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, everybody say, but I. This is Jesus. He says, I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. He has come not to give you life to the busyness, not to give you life to the meaningless, but to give you life to the full. Which means that there's going to be times when your schedule is full. But the problem is that sometimes our schedule is full because we've made a mess out of our yes. We've made messes out of our yeses because we've said yes to too many things. And so we found ourselves in a place where we're outside of the budget. We're spending in the deficit. And it's because we've said yes to too many things along the way. I don't think that when we talk about the allocation of our time, I don't think it's just because we're doing too much, but it's because we're doing too much without him. John 5:19 says, Jesus gave them the answer. He says this, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Remember that example that is in Jesus. He gave us an example of how to say yes. And the way that he exemplifies this is by abiding in the Father. John 8:28 says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of my own, but just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Jesus came and lived on this earth and experienced all the anxiety, all the challenges, all the pain that you experience today. And yet along the way, as he was walking throughout his day, he was constantly checking in with the Father. He was abiding in the Father. And the Father instructed him when to say yes and when to say no, so that the allocation of his time was perfectly distributed to best glorify who? His Father in heaven. Now, I know some of you are like, that would be great. I would love to have Audio God on at all points throughout the day and just be tapping into him at work. God, yes or no? Yes, got it. God, yes or no? No, got it. But that's not how it works, is it? It's not like this audible screeching yes and no. It's more of a subtle nudge one way or another. But let's be honest, when you're getting nudged to spend time with Jesus, are you following that nudge or are you following the desire to check out in your life? I know that I can be guilty of the latter. I know that I can find myself at the end of a long day and I sit down, I put the kids finally down at like 7:30, but really 8 o'clock because it takes at least 30 minutes to put these little screaming kids down. And then I get there, I sit on my couch and I'm like, I can pull out my phone and there's this app called the Bible app that's free for everyone. And I can just click that and start reading. But instead, I pull out my phone and what am I most tempted to do? Just click something to check out. Because the conditioning of my heart and the allocation of my free time is showing that, man, I need more of Jesus. John 15, 4 through 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, the fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I hope that that phrase, you can do nothing, is one that lands from a place of encouragement to say that at the end of the day, you can try as hard as you want. You can fill your schedule as much as you want. But if you're not doing it with Jesus, if you're not abiding in him moment by moment, then our life is going to be meaningless. But if we can focus on Jesus, if we can fix our eyes on him and learn what it means to abide, then what a glorious life we can live. A full life is a productive life. A productive life is a fruitful life. And in order to be fruitful, we have to focus on Jesus. Okay, so what does it look like? We figured out where the allocation of our time is going. Now, what does it look like to actually, what do we do when we find that free time? Like a dog chasing its tail, sometimes when we finally get that free time, we sit there, we're like, I don't even know what to do, so I'm going to stare at something because I finally found some free space. I want to give you guys a few tools that I hope would be beneficial for you as you go into 2018. There's three different categories. One is a scheduled moment with God, spontaneous moments with God, and then savory. Everybody say savory. Ooh, savory moments with God, all right? So scheduled moments with God. And this is the foundation of it all. Because if you don't if God is not reflected in your time budget, in other words, your schedule, how can you expect God to speak into your life? If your life lives and dies by a schedule, and God is not built into your schedule, then how do you expect God to speak into your life? We need to have God built into our schedule. Oftentimes Jesus, again, as our example, would talk about him going off while it was still dark, most likely morning time. Some of y'all are like, shh, don't talk about the morning time. Yes, the morning time, because when we set our day with connecting with Jesus, how much greater perspective are we gonna have of the rest of the day? So this is your starting place, time with God on a daily basis. If you've been around Antioch at any point in time, you're like, are we seriously talking about this again? The answer is yes, because we need it. I remember early on when I first started walking with God, I was at a round table with Jimmy, and Jimmy said something that really transformed my perspective of spending time with God. He said, I know that at any point in my life, I'm 3 days away from falling back into sin if I don't connect with Jesus. You know, day one, I get a little funky. Day two, I'm super irritable. By day three, who knows what's going to happen so that day four, I could end up back where I started from. And I've really taken that in my own life and gone, man, not out of a place of fear, but out of a place of desperation to connect with the Father as the vine. But then there's also things called intentional retreats and vacations. That's right, your preacher is saying, take intentional retreats and take vacations. Now, parents, when you take your kids on a vacation, that is called a trip. So what you need to consider doing is taking time with you and just your spouse to get away to have a moment where you can connect with Jesus. My wife and I do this on a quarterly basis, and then at least once a year, we get away for an extended period of time where we just really look back and say thank you and look ahead and are hopeful. If you look back and are thankful and look ahead and are hopeful, you're going to leave that weekend being rejuvenated and refreshed. Being thankful is one of the key ingredients that I'll talk about here in just a second. But I want to talk real quick, daily times with Jesus. For me, this is what it looks like. I have two screaming kids that wake up at the crack of 6:30 dawn. So I have to, if I'm going to get any time with Jesus, that means, and I need to work out, I have to wake up really early if you do the math. So I wake up early, I generally go work out, and then I come back and I fight for an hour increment of time with Jesus. The first part is generally reading. I'm just getting in the Word. I'll generally start with the Psalms just because the Psalms kind of stirs the thankfulness in my heart. And then I'll jump into a few chapters of the Gospels or a few chapters of the Old Testament. And then I move into worship and or prayer. And so worship we'll generally do with our kids. We turn on Bethel TV or we'll turn on Antioch Live and do a little bit of worship on the living room TV. Turn it on, let them lead us in worship. And then we'll finish by praying. Sometimes it's the most simple prayers with my kids. Jesus, thank you for the day. I pray that you bless our day. Help us to be obedient. But then also when it's my own personal time, I'll spend time interceding for different people. I'll spend time waiting on the Lord. Jesus, speak into my day. That's just, I know I'm flying through that. But we have tons of resources around here at Antioch. You can go to the information desk and get a Spending Time with God packet. You can go on the App Store and get the Antioch app. There are tons and tons of resources. But the scheduled moment is so, so crucial, because if he's not in our schedule, then how can we expect him to speak into our life? Now, the spontaneous moments. Some of you are like, praise God. We're talking about the spontaneous moments. Those are the gaps in your day. We'll call them gaps with God. Everybody say gaps with God. All of us have gaps in our day. A stoplight is a gap. Some of y'all be checking your Facebook at every stoplight that happens and or driving. Let's put that phone down. And at the stoplight, what would it look like to just pause? And in that moment, instead of pulling out your phone, say this simple phrase. Ready? Thank you, Jesus. It's pretty simple. It doesn't take a lot of time. So how much time did that take? I think you still got some left in that 26.5. What happens when we pause and we say, thank you, Jesus, is that our hearts realign to connect to the vine. Every time I say thank you, sometimes I say thank you, not even knowing what I'm going to finish that with. Thank you for, and I'm like, thank you for this car that's moving in front of me quicker than it was before. Thank you, Jesus, for my children that are bathed today. Thank you, Jesus, for food on the table. Thank you. And then what happens is the thankfulness starts to, it kind of snowballs. And I'm like, wow, I could say, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Green light, got to go. But what's happened is that thankfulness is a great way to remove the anxiety in our hearts. If you find yourself anxious in the workday, if you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're a stay-at-home working mom and you're sitting there and you're anxious in your day, just to pause while your kids went down for a nap and just say, thank you, Jesus, to fill our gaps with God. And here's just a little life hack, because I'm giving a lot of those little tech life hacks. There's this beautiful person, if you want to call them that, named Siri. And Siri, if you have an iPhone, I don't know what it's called for Pixel or whatever, you can say, Siri, remind me every day at 4:15 p.m. when my kids are right before they get home from school or whatever, remind me to say thank you. And Siri is really faithful. She's going to remind you every single day at that time to be thankful. And the good news is you're going to look at your phone anyways. So there is Siri just smiling back at you saying, thank you, Jesus. Last one, the savory moments, and I'm going to finish with this. The savory moments, and you could also call these more of a slowdown moment. How many of you have ever missed an exit on the highway? Everyone. How many of you have missed an exit because you were going too slowly? No hands. Interesting how that works. We miss exits because we're going too fast. And some of us are missing the direction of the Lord because we're flying through life and we're not taking moments to slow down. Whatever it is can wait sometimes when we just need to slow down. I got to vacation earlier this fall. We're on the beach, me and my wife. She's still sleeping, actually. I'm out doing. So I'm walking on the beach and I'm literally like walking at this space. Like there's people walking on the beach. I'm like passing them, just kind of cruising along. And part of the way through, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm crazy. And the Lord in that moment just said, hey man, slow down and be with me. So I'm literally like, okay. Oh, this is weird. Oh. And as I physically began to slow down, I emotionally began to slow down. I mentally began to slow down. And I spiritually began to slow down. Then I began to just hear from the Lord. He was speaking a ton of good stuff, but I was just too busy running on the sand to connect with him. And it took me slowing down to savor that moment with him. You know, savoring moments is more than just slowing down. Sometimes it's taking advantage of which is already in front of you. It's like, you know, you go to a nice restaurant, you can eat that steak really, really quickly, or you can savor it. There's a lot of those moments where God wants to meet with you in the moment if we'll just slow down. For me, I learned that early on in parenting. We had Haven, our first little girl, and I remember early on, she was a super cuddler. So she was super cuddly. James has cuddled all of like 2 minutes in his entire life. Haven, on the other hand, cuddled like for 30 minutes a day. So every day I would go to put her down and I'd take her tiny little self on my shoulder and I'd begin rocking her sleep. I'd sing her some random song. And then, you know, you'd think in this moment, oh, you must have stayed there for hours. But the reality is I would get into that moment and I'd be like, please fall asleep, please fall asleep, please fall asleep, please fall asleep so I can lay down so that I can go get some me time. And it was somewhere along the way after I'd done that a couple times that the Lord spoke to me and he said, hey, Lou, I want you to savor this moment. And he said, 60 seconds. He's like, every time you feel that need to want to leave, take an extra 60 seconds to connect with your daughter. Because those extra 60 seconds are going to be the 60 seconds you think about when you're walking her down the aisle when she's 45. And so I did that. I paused. And I literally would check my watch sometimes. That's how bad I am. And I'd be like, all right, Lord, okay. And I'd slow down and I'd savor the moment. And I still to this day find myself applying that same deal to connect with my daughter. How many of you know that time's flying by and there's precious moments in front of you, whether you're a parent, whether you're not, whether you're married, whether you're not, whether you're single, like there are precious moments that if you'll just pause and savor them, the Father wants to connect with you. And here's the kicker. God's never looking at his watch when he spends time with you. He's never trying to move on to the next thing when you meet with him. He wants to meet with you as long as you're willing to meet with him, whenever you're wanting to meet with him. He is waiting and the door is open. All we have to do is walk through it and hug him, walk through and connect with him because the Father is a good, good Father. And if anxiety and busyness is riddling our life, all it takes is a moment of thankfulness to reconnect to the vine. All it takes is setting the schedule at the beginning of our day to say, Father, I'm yours. And he's not going to be like, hey, I'm a little busy right now. That's not the heart of the Lord. He says, no, I want to meet with you. You got 60 seconds, I got 60 seconds. You got 5 minutes, I've got 5 minutes. Whatever time you want to give me, the Father says, I want to meet with you. Our time, though it's flying by, though it's our most valuable asset, when we invest it and prioritize meeting with Jesus. If we could just do that, if we could look at this next year and go, what would it look like to prioritize our time with Jesus, to subtract some of the excess and insert some of the Jesus, and I guarantee you that 2018 will look different than 2017 if you increase that connection. Let's stand together. Now, what we're going into now is called response time. And I love response time. Because here at this church, we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. So whether you're in the auditorium, whether you're streaming online, this can be your time to respond. And so to start this time, I know that right now you're having that moment that I had with Haven where you're like, I need to move on to the next thing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually give you 60 seconds. 60 seconds that the band's not going to be playing. 60 seconds that you don't have to go get your kids because they're still well attended to. 60 seconds for you to reflect and to connect with Jesus and to ask him this one simple question. Jesus, what do you want me to do with my time in 2018? Go ahead and take that 60 seconds. I'm serious. I'm going to count it and then I'll come and check back in. All right, there's 60 seconds. Just 60 seconds with Jesus is enough to change our hearts, even in a moment. So what we want to do now, prayer teams, if you can begin to come forward, is now comes that physical step of response. For some of you, that might be a step of faith to come get prayed for. Whether you're physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually in need of prayer, financially in need of prayer, we would love to pray for you. But there might be some of you in the room, and feel free to begin coming down even as I speak, but there might be some of you in the room that would say, I don't know that I can redeem the time because I don't know the Redeemer. I don't know that I can redeem the time because I've never actually made a decision to follow and give my life to Jesus. That is the ultimate starting place. As I was praying for our time here this morning, I had a picture of an open door, and some of you might feel like you're standing out in the cold like today. And Jesus is standing there, the door is wide open, and he's waiting in the warmth of his church, which is the people of God, saying, come and be in this family. And scripture's pretty simple. It says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. And so if that's you in the audience and you're saying, I'm tired of the cold, I want the warmth of the family of God, I want Jesus, you can just say something, a simple prayer, something like this. If you'll bow and close your eyes. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you in my life. I admit that I've sinned and fallen short. And I believe that you're the Son of God who died and rose again so that I could have life and life to the full. Jesus, I give you lordship over my life. Would you come and welcome me into your family? Forever. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, there's a rejoicing happening in heaven. And my brothers and sisters down here would love to pray with you, put a Bible in your hand, and encourage you. Don't leave this place without meeting and talking with somebody to talk about that step of faith that you just made. But for the rest of us in the room, now is the time for you to respond. If there is a reallocation of time that you've realized that you need prayer for, come forward. If you've realized, man, some of that neutral has led to some negative and I need to share about that negative, these people will keep that in confidence that you can come and share it. Scripture says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Don't leave this room without experiencing the healing that Jesus has for you. Let me pray so that we can go in time of worship and invite all of you to come forward as needed. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're the redeemer of our time, that you're the redeemer of our lives. So Jesus, would you take our time offering this next year so that you might be glorified in our lives? We love you, Jesus. Amen.